And it's intended to, first of all, to instruct, to strengthen, to build. Maybe there are some younger saints who need to be grounded further in the Word of God, and this will be good so that you can become grounded in the truth of God's Word. And secondly, it'll be to solidify and reinforce older saints who've been around for a while in your faith, and that you might know why you believe what you believe, and also be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that lieth within you. And Bible doctrine is very important. There's a lot of Christianity out there today, and the flavor of Christianity is, well, doctrine doesn't really matter. You know, we can agree on the most important parts and just sort of wash over, you know, the other parts. And that, I don't believe that. I don't believe that God is pleased with that. We can't pick and choose which parts of the Bible to believe. God did not give us His Word in order for us to be able to just sift through it and decide which parts we want to accept and which parts we don't. And so it's important to know the Word of God. And so we're going to begin this doctrinal series by considering, first of all, bibliology. Bibliology is the study of the Scriptures. And we'll talk about a lot of different ones. Bibliology, we're going to cover divine revelation today and inspiration and preservation. We'll talk about ecclesiology. That's the study of the church. What is a true church according to the Scriptures? The Word of God is very specific as to what it is. Christianity and religion has a different idea of what it is. And so we'll look at that. We're going to look at where its founding and its beginning, the church's founding and beginning, the mission, the purpose of the church, the ordinances of the church, spiritual gifts for believers and how they're to be used inside of a local church. We'll talk about Christology, the study of Christ, His virgin birth, His deity, all kinds of things. Pneumatology, the study of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit in the church and the work of the Holy Spirit in believers' life, in this world, all of those kinds of things. And we'll probably even get to some eschatology, some end times type things. And so there's a lot of basic Bible doctrines that we'll cover. We'll just let the Lord direct and see how far it goes. But certainly, and first of all, we're going to do some doctrinal studies. We want to do a study on bibliology and the Word of God, the Scriptures. Where does it come from? How do we know that we have the Word of God? And so to begin this study, we need to talk about divine revelation. That's what we're going to consider this afternoon. All right, let's pray, and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, would you give us understanding? Father, I pray that you'd instruct us and teach us, strengthen us, solidify us in our faith. Father, mature us, make us like Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, divine revelation. The word revelation simply means a revealing. And I know that's profound, right, to all of you. You learned something brand new today. But when it comes to theology, it refers to God revealing Himself to mankind. And without some sort of revelation, we wouldn't know anything about God or the fact that there even is a God. And so we begin this doctrinal series on bibliology with the premise here that God desires to make Himself known to man, and He has revealed Himself at various times and in different ways to mortal man. Look in Hebrews chapter 1. We're here this morning in the 11 o'clock hour. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 says, God, who at sundry times, that means various times, and in divers manners, that means in different ways, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. All right, so the Bible says that God at various times and in different ways spake in times past unto the fathers through the prophets. Verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. And so here we find God speaking, God revealing Himself. He revealed Himself through the prophets in times past in different ways, and then now reveals himself even further through his Son. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. And so we have some revelation from God in chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2, God revealing himself in different ways. Chapter 2, we find that there are things that we've heard, and the word has been spoken, and it was revealed in verse 3, began to be spoken by the Lord, and then was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. So here's some different and various ways showing, proving that God wants to reveal himself to people. What do we need to understand? Well, let's define revelation first of all here. Revelation is the unveiling of something previously hidden so that it might be seen for what it is. All right? So it's something we don't know. It's the unveiling of something that was previously hidden so that we can see it for what it is. All revelation is supernatural in that it has God for its source, and then it has truth for its end. Okay? So understand this. When it comes to a divine revelation, God is the source, truth is the end. God's not going to reveal or to show things to us that are not true. And so what is revelation? Well, it's the unveiling of God's truth, is simply what revelation is. Let's explain revelation. Revelation, the revelation of God to man, it falls into two basic categories. There is general revelation, and then there is special revelation. All right, so here we're talking about God revealing himself, his truth, to mankind, something that was previously hidden. And it falls into two categories, general revelation and special. Let's consider general revelation here. General revelation we could also call natural revelation. And what is that? Well, it's the knowledge of God that comes from the light of natural things. General revelation is something that is accessible to everybody. It's accessible to all men, and it's addressed to intelligent creatures. I mean, God doesn't reveal himself to the animal kingdom as far as something previously hidden. God controls the animal kingdom. They do what he tells them to do. So this revelation is to mortal men, and it's something that is accessible to all men. How does that happen? Well, through creation, number one. God reveals that he is alive, that he is true, that he is God through creation. Look in Psalm 19. This is something that is available to all men. God revealing himself through creation. Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare, here's a revealing, the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. So here it's available to everyone. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his bride chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. So certainly talking about the sun there, but the point is that the heavens declare the glory of God. The works of God, the creation of God, reveals his handiwork. Look at Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, verse 1, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? What does this reveal about God? Well, that he's all powerful, right? Here's some truth, that God is the creator, but it also reveals something else, doesn't it, about man? When I consider thy heavens, and I start to understand the things that God has done, that also shows me something about myself. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And so we're seeing some demonstrations here of general revelation, God revealing himself, what kind of a God he is to mortal men. Look at Psalm 104. We won't take the time to read through all of these scriptures. There's lots of them. Psalm 104, verse 24. O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. The word manifold there, to my understanding, means how known, how made known are they? How manifold are thy works? They're revealed to us, and we could read in Isaiah chapter 40, we could read over in Acts chapter 14, we could keep on reading scripture after scripture, talking about how the heavens, creation, declares and reveals God. Not only is there general revelation through creation, so we can see the evidence of things that are made, and we can understand something about God. Not only is it creation as part of general revelation, but so is the conscience. The conscience. Look at Romans chapter 2 with me. This is interesting. And I think, let's just go ahead and read this here. And we'll talk about it for a second. Romans chapter 2 and verse 14. Paul says here, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. Paul's talking about when the Gentiles do by nature the things contained in the law. It reveals and shows the law of God written on their heart. Essentially, what he's talking about is we all have a conscience and we all have a law of God that's written on our heart. We all have a sense, at least initially, of what is right and what is wrong. Okay? And it's something that is placed there naturally by God. Where does that sense of right and wrong come from? Even the world, even the atheist out there has a moral code to them, at least initially. And they have a way that they operate. And they instinctively know it's not okay to commit murder. Instinctively, they'll know it's not okay to commit rape. That's wrong. Well, how in the world do they come to that conclusion? They don't believe in God. They don't believe in the Bible. Those are things that's actually an innate thing, something that is the law of God written on the heart. It's a conscience. And that can be seared. That can be changed. It can be, somebody's conscience can be completely, basically nullified by over time by the way that they live. But there's a moral sense to people somehow. But what is that? Well, it's something that God puts in every man. And the reason he puts that in every man is because Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and he's the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And it's, what is it? We're a body, we're a soul, we're a spirit, right? Our soul is our personality. It's who we really are, but our spirit is our God conscious. And there's something that is put inside of mortal man that is a need to worship the one true God. And even if they don't know what it is, it's something that God puts within us. And that's what he's talking about here, our conscience. God puts something within us to reveal something about himself. And general revelation, what is it? Well, it's through creation, it's through the conscience, it's something that's accessible to all men. It's something that bears witness to the existence of God. It's also something that bears witness to the power of God and also for the need for God. That's what general revelation is. Through creation, it declares the glory of God. Through the conscience, it reveals that God exists, that he's a powerful God, and we need him. However, that general revelation does not testify to necessarily to the personality of God or the plan of salvation that God has for mortal men. Look with me in Romans chapter 1. Romans 1. Romans 1 verse 18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." All right, so we learn a couple of things here. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven. All right, the things that would can be known of God are God hath shown it to us, and the invisible things of God are clearly seen from the creation, even the Godhead, the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But what is the? This is general revelation here. What is the effect of general revelation? Well, according to verse 21, note this, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." What is the conclusion of all that God has revealed to people? Verse 20, the end of verse 20 tells us what the conclusion is. The very last phrase is, "so that they are without excuse." The effect of general revelation is to condemn man, to show that there is a God, he does exist, he's a powerful God, and we need him. And the effect of general revelation is to condemn. Why? Because verse 21 says, "When they knew God, they glorified him not as God." General revelation alone is not adequate to save a man from his sin. The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. General revelation alone is not adequate enough to save a person from their sin for two reasons. Reason number one is that creation, what we look at in creation, has been affected by the entrance of sin. Romans chapter 8, verse 22 says, "The whole earth, the whole creation, groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." Secondly, man himself has also been affected by sin to the extent that he is not able to rightly read the evidences of God that are revealed in nature. This is an important statement. Man has been affected by sin himself. And so man can't rightly read the evidences that God has given in nature, and that he has revealed in nature. And the proof of that is just with evolutionists, atheists. They all look at the same evidence we look at, right? But what conclusion do they draw? It's an anti-God conclusion, isn't it? They look at the very same evidence that we look at, the revealing of God, but their conclusion is not that God is powerful and I need him, their conclusion, because of sin and the entrance of sin, their conclusion is an anti-God conclusion. We need something more than just general revelation. And this is where we come to special revelation. What are we talking about? We're talking about divine revelation. God wants to reveal himself. He does that generally through creation, through our conscience. But there's also special revelation. And special revelation is the direct divine intervention in the affairs of this world. And it's God revealing himself through special acts done by his person. For example, Matthew chapter 11 with me. We're going somewhere with all of this, so just stay with me, all right? Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. And at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and from the prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So what does Jesus say in verse 27? That no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. We're talking about special revelation, more than just general revelation. It's the divine intervention in the affairs of this world, and it's God revealing himself through special things or special acts done by his person. Now, throughout the history of mankind, God has given special revelation. Many different forms he's used. For example, there are many instances in the Word of God where God directly spoke to a man, verbally, audibly. Abraham, for example, in Genesis chapter 22, remember where God told Abraham to go and offer and sacrifice his son. The Bible says that God said to Abraham, right? Many times. In the Garden of Eden, God spoke with and talked with Adam and Eve on a daily basis, a regular basis. Many times in the Scriptures, God spoke to an individual. In Genesis chapter 15, again, speaking of to Abraham here, Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Here's another form that God used to directly speak to mankind, audibly and also in dreams and visions. Here the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. And so we see throughout the history of mankind, God giving special revelation to man in various forms. Wouldn't it be great if we could actually hear audibly the voice of God today telling us what to do? I mean, there are times when I'm trying to discern God's will and trying to know God's will, and I'm looking in the Scriptures and I'm praying, and it's like it's not very clear at the moment. And it would be, Lord, it'd be just great if you just told me what to do. If you just said, here's exactly what I want. Well, God did do that in the past. But that's not how he operates today. We read in Hebrews 1 that in this time, God speaks to us through his Son, and certainly through his Word. We could say that the crown of God's special revelation of himself would be the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to this earth. The crown of his revelation, God himself coming in the form of a man to this earth. John 1:14 says, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's John chapter 1 in verse 1, but verse 14 says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. But look at John chapter 14. The Bible says that he came unto his own, but his own received him not. He revealed himself to be the Messiah, but they, the Jews, didn't want it. But John 14, in verse 9, Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Jesus said, when he came, he was revealing himself to be God. That's the crown of God's special revelation of himself. But there's something even more than that. We could say that the completion of God's special revelation of himself to man is the holy word of God, the Bible. Look in Romans chapter 16 with me. So what is special revelation? Well, it's God's divine intervention in the affairs of this world. God revealing himself through special acts, himself coming to this earth, but also giving us his word. And this, we would say, is the completion of God's special revelation of himself to man. In Romans chapter 16, look in verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. So here, Paul says, he's talking about the gospel, the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. But now this mystery is made known by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of God, and it's made available and made known to all nations. The completion of God's special revelation of himself to man is his holy word, the Bible. Now look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 2 Corinthians? Here, I always do this, and I have to blame my secretary, which is me, myself. Where is that verse found? Verse 10? That's what I had written down. Why am I... Oh, I have it reversed. I'm dyslexic. That's what it is. I'm in chapter 10 looking at verse 13. And so let's go to chapter 13 and verse 10. For all of you with dyslexia, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The Bible says here, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. That word perfect here, of course, this is referring to the scriptures, and the Lord gave signs to confirm the message and so on. And Paul is talking about how when the scriptures, when that which is perfect has come, all those sign gifts, all those things that confirm the message, those things that are in part, they're going to be done away. There's no more need for those things. That word perfect, though, means to be brought to its end, all right? But it also means wanting nothing for completeness. So when that which is perfect is come, when that which is wanting nothing for completeness, when that which is perfect, it's brought to its end, is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. In other words, upon the completion of the 66 books of the Bible, special revelation in the ordinary sense seems to have ceased. In other words, God has revealed to us all that he wants us to know about himself right here in this book. It's complete. There's no more do we see God speaking in audible voices to man, or God revealing himself with dreams and with visions. Why? Because we have the complete revealing of God in the Word of God. That's why 2 Peter 1:3 says that God has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. There's no more special revelation in the ordinary sense because that which is perfect, complete, is come. Now, in place of special revelation, what we have now is a work of the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit of God illuminates or casts light upon the Scriptures, and technically, this is a legitimate form of revelation from God. Without the Holy Spirit to teach us and without the Holy Spirit to give us illumination, we wouldn't know how to apply the Word of God to the individual life and to circumstances. I mean, apart from the work of the Spirit of God, there is no revealing of the Scriptures. There's no understanding of truth. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, since we're here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 in verse 10 tells us, let's just go back to verse 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So how are these things of God revealed to us? By the Spirit, according to 1 Corinthians 2:10. The truth of God's Word needs to be revealed to us by the Holy Spirit of God, and we need to be taught by the Spirit of God. Look at verse 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And so we need the Spirit of God to teach us the things of God. We need the Spirit of God to reveal truth or illuminate truth in the Word of God. And verse 14 tells us that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Look at verse 14. But the natural man, that's the unsaved man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And so what do we have? We have the complete revelation of God in the Word of God. But what we need is the Holy Spirit of God to illuminate that truth so that we can receive it. The natural man, the unsaved man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. He can't even know them, the Bible says, because they are spiritually discerned. In other words, the Bible is a closed book as far as its real meaning is concerned to the one who is not born again. He doesn't possess the Holy Spirit of God to reveal truth. The only thing that he can understand is that he needs salvation, that he's a sinner, and he needs God's gift. So, we're talking about divine revelation. God wants to reveal himself. He does that through general revelation. It's available to everyone. Creation shows that there is a God, and he is a powerful God. But beyond that, we need more than that to come to a place of saving knowledge. We need God's special revelation of himself, his Son, Jesus Christ, and the Word of God, and the Spirit of God to, to illuminate and reveal that truth to us. What is the importance of this doctrine? Well, we read in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, and we found that the effect of general revelation was to condemn man, to show that there's a powerful God and we need Him. But according to Psalm, go with me there to Psalm 19, and I'll finish up here. Psalm 19, verse 7. What do we find here about the Word of God? The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. Here's some revealing. And in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from my secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. What is the effect of special Bible, biblical revelation according to Psalm 19 and verse 7? The law of the Lord is perfect to what? Convert the soul. The effect of general revelation is to condemn man. There's a God who's powerful. But the effect of special biblical revelation is to convert man. The Bible, God's holy word, is God's special revelation to man. And we find it necessary. Why? Because number one, it reveals the effects of sin. It shows us our sin. It reveals the effects of our sin. Number two, it shows us or reveals the transcendence of God in the fact that He is separate, He's holy, that man cannot find Him. But it also reveals to us the personality of God, the fact that He's a God of love, the fact that He's a God who desires fellowship with His creation. This is the reason that He has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness in His Word. Listen, we need God's special revelation, don't we? We need God to reveal Himself to us. We must have a standard of truth. Otherwise, we're left to fend for ourselves as to what is true, as to what God expects, as to what the end will be. If we didn't have God to reveal that to us, what foundation would we have? If man is left to the product of his own imagination, then that is something that is certainly unstable. It's unknowable ground. That is the ground of the atheist. That's the ground of the agnostic, that which is unknowable. Praise God, He's revealed Himself to fallen, sinful man. Amen? Now, we did that because next week we're going to start talking about where did this Bible come from? We know that God wants to reveal Himself and He gave it to us. Where did this Bible come from? We're going to talk about inspiration and we're going to talk about preservation. And we'll probably even talk about in the couple weeks ahead to come what version of the Bible would we consider to be the inspired, preserved Word of God. All right? And so those are the things that we're going to cover under bibliology in the next few weeks. And Lord willing, it'll be a blessing. It'll be a challenge. Solidify you and me in our faith. Amen? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. Lord, we thank You for revealing Yourself to us. Without You intervening, without You revealing Yourself, we wouldn't know anything about You. And it's another demonstration of Your love for us. Father, we pray that you'd strengthen us through these studies. Father, teach us and solidify in us that we may be able to give an answer to every man of the hope that lieth within us. Bless your people this week. Lord, we pray for those who are going to the Pioneer Home this afternoon here. Father, bless your word as it goes forth. And Father, I pray that you'd bring people to Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.